Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only
Sarah Lasco,
who's starring as Dorothy in National Theater's production of The Wizard of Oz, one of my all-time favorite stories and movies and plays. And so we're so happy to have you in here.
Thank you.
And it'll be at National Theater from May 3rd through the 15th, so only a two-week window here, so you got to get out and get your tickets now and go see it. But in this case, it's perfect for a play about there's no place like home. You are from home. You're from Montgomery County. Tell us where you grew up.
I grew up in Rockville, born and raised.
What high school?
Rockville High.
Oh, you're a Rockville Ram.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Interesting. Okay, cool. All right. And so before we go into the actual show itself, I want to hear more about that. I mean, since we got the whole local girl angle, we got to take it. How did you get into acting? Were you in the high school plays and stuff?
I actually started doing community theater when I was 13 years old, and I worked with a lot of local community theaters and then started doing theater at Montgomery College when I was 14. And I did shows at that community college till I was 20. And then I transferred to UMaryland and started doing shows there.
Oh, cool. So. I want to go through each of those real quick. Chronologically, what were some of the community theaters? Because I'm sure our listeners will know some of them.
Sure, yeah. I performed at Rockville Musical Theater, Sandy Spring Theater Group. I spent most of my childhood and teenage years dancing with Rockville Civic Ballet, and they're over at F. Scott Fitzgerald. I feel like I've been raised by the community.
what were some of the shows? Did you ever do Oz growing up?
I didn't. This is my first time. I did The Fantastics. I did a play called Kinder Transport. I did a lot of musicals with Montgomery College. I was in Annie Get Your Gun, Thoroughly Modern Millie, Ragtime. I did their summer dinner theater. I got a lot of time on stage here.
And then you went to University of Maryland, you said?
I did.
All right. Fellow Terp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we had someone in the background that wasn't a fan of that. No, that's okay. Awesome. So what is it? The Clarice Smith Performing Arts Center? Is that what it's called? Okay. So what shows did you do there?
I was in Your Good Man Charlie Brown, and I was actually performing professionally in D.C. at the time, so I was working at the Keene Theater, and I also got to work at the Kennedy Center while I was at UMaryland.
Wow. What did you do at Kennedy?
I danced with the National Symphony Orchestra, Christmas Pops, with Marvin Hamlisch. That was really fun.
Marvin Hamlisch?
Marvin Hamlisch.
Before he died at the Cine Golden Eagle Awards or something. Yeah, he played piano.
We got to meet him, and I think we were on his Christmas card because we were all dressed up as Rockettes. So.
Oh, wow. Did you get to talk to him?
I did. This is he was very nice, yeah. Oh, wow. And then through University of Maryland, I got to perform with Barbara Cook, which was really cool.
Wow.
So,
man, you get to brush with some legends.
I know, I'm lucky, right?
Before you even were done college. All right, cool. So then, take me from there to how you got involved with this national tour.
So I happened to like posting YouTube covers of songs, and an agent in New York happened to land on his desk, and he called me up to audition, so I moved to New York. And signed with him after I graduated.
What was the song, the video?
There were two songs. One of them was Part of Your World from Little Mermaid.
Of course.
The other one was Greenfinch and Linnet Bird from Sweeney Todd.
Oh, wow.
So I think they're still on there somewhere.
Two very similar movies.
Yeah, they're slightly different.
My friends, the Snarfblad and the Dinglehopper.
And then I was just living in New York and auditioning and working, and I did a couple shows, but nothing of this magnitude until I got the show last May 2015, and started rehearsals in October. We've been touring since December 1st.
Wow. What all cities have you hit so far?
We've been to Denver, Portland, San Diego, Cleveland, Boston. We were just in Boston, Buffalo. Yeah. It's been great. I mean, I've been able to travel across the U.S., which is exciting for me because I had never been to the West Coast.
Oh, really? So this was your first time out there. Is this your first national tour?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right, that's really awesome. Cool, and now you're coming full circle, and now you're back here.
Yeah.
So welcome. You've never done national theater before, I assume.
No, I've seen shows there, but I've never performed there. So
what will it be like stepping out on that stage, knowing, you kind of grew up nearby and had seen shows there, and it's going to be a little surreal stepping out there as an actress?
I think I'll be a little misty on opening night, for sure.
Get ready for a misty Dorothy, guys. Okay, cool. So so we went into how you got into acting and performing, but when did you discover Wizard of Oz? Was it like all of us, like, you know, grew up watching it on, you know, VHS or DVD or something?
Oh, yeah. My first memory of watching any movie is Wizard of Oz, the monkey scene, which I guess that switched something on in my, like, 4-year-old brain.
I think it scarred you for life. It terrified
for
you.
For life. But I had a poster of Wizard of Oz. We had a giant, like, limited edition pillow of Wizard of Oz, and I loved Judy Garland. Mm. I was... You know, I thought she was just quintessential Dorothy. I still do. And right. Yeah, I love the movie. Oh, I knew all the songs.
Absolutely. I think we could probably just sing every word to every song.
Probably could.
Right here, so. Yeah. All right. Listeners, here we go. No, I'm just kidding. what do you think it is that captures you, me, everyone else, literally everyone in the world at such a young age about this story?
It's just so timeless. And I mean, it's such an epic film, too. Like, it's lasted from... Yeah. The time, what was it, 1930, 1939? Yeah, when it was filmed. And I feel like it's my grandma's movie, it's my mom's movie, it's my movie. We all watch it when we're kids and are just mesmerized by the beautiful Technicolor, even though everything's in color now anyway.
One day it'll be our grandkids and their grandkids' movie. Like, I think this thing's going to be around forever.
I'm definitely going to indoctrinate Nate and I children into Wizard of Oz.
How do you plan on indoctrinating them? With poppies?
Just going to play in the background.
Poppies will make them watch this. That's awesome. Did you have a favorite song or scene when you were a kid? I mean, obviously the monkey scarred you, but...
You know... That's a good question.
Over the Rainbow is the easy answer.
Yeah, but, is the easy answer. I mean, that scene, I could watch over and over and never get tired of it. I think what my favorite thing to do on stage now is also one of my favorite parts of the movie, which is when Dorothy meets the three friends when she's on the road, on the Yellow Brick Road. And I love that part. And I love our three, our Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Lion.
Who plays your three friends?
Morgan Reynolds is the Scarecrow. Jay McGill is the Tin Man. And the Lion is played by Aaron Freed. And they're so funny, but they also have so much heart in their characters, and they kind of retain that.
Except for the Tin Man. He doesn't have any heart.
No pun intended.
Take me one by one into, you know, how they each sort of approach the role. So tell me about the Scarecrow. Is he falling all over the place? You know, what's his deal?
He is. Actually, I had a friend come in Boston to see the show, and she was just like, he looks like he doesn't have a spine. Like, how does he do it? And I was like, I don't know. But he's so lovable. He's so funny. And audiences, I feel like he's a major highlight of the show. Audiences leave and they're like, wow, the Scarecrow was so great. Right. But I guess I could say that about all of them. The Tin Man, Jay, is kind of, his Tin Man is more of kind of a Superman with like heart of gold, non-existent heart of gold.
non-existent heart of gold.
Aaron Freed, who plays the Lion, is also really funny. And I know when he gets on stage is when the audience really starts laughing and like applauding. So they're so much fun to watch and so much fun to be on stage with.
So from the Scarecrow that doesn't have a spine to the Lion who's also doesn't have a spine, but for very different reasons. Okay, cool. So tell me about, if our listeners, let's say, obviously, everyone knows and loves the movie, but let's say they show up and they've never seen it on stage before, or at least your version on stage.
Mm-hmm.
What can they expect? Is it pretty much the same songs all the way through, or are there additional songs?
There are additional songs. So we retain most of the songs from the movie. A lot of the dialogue comes straight from the movie, but we do have four new songs written by Angeloid Weber and Tim Rice. And they decided to give songs to the characters in the movie who don't really have material. Like the Wicked Witch doesn't have a song. She gets big song.
What is it? Surrender, Dorothy. No.
It's called Red Shoes Blues.
Okay,
it's a big song and dance number.
Not Defying Gravity either.
Not
That's
Defying
a
Gravity.
Different Wicked
Slightly different show. Professor Marvel has a song. Glinda has a really beautiful song.
Nice.
And but other than that, the songs and a lot of the lines are straight from the film.
Does the Wizard get a song?
The Wizard has a small song. He definitely, when he comes on the scene, he is a very imposing scene. So I think that's it's pretty shocking, I think, when you first see it.
Take me, similar to how you did with Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Lion, take me into who plays the witch, what makes her great, and then the wizard.
Sure. So we have our two witches. So we have Shawnee Hodgen, who plays the Wicked Witch of the West. And I have friends who have little kids and they're always like, oh, is she too scary? But I like our witch because she's definitely menacing, but I think she's really funny too. And her song is really, really impressive. She hits some crazy high notes and she's amazing.
So it's a lighter, more musical version of the witch. Margaret
Hamilton
is
she's still pretty threatening, but
man.
I don't think she's Margaret Hamilton like terrify your 3-year-olds, make them have nightmares, kind of scary, which I think is good for this musical. and then we have Rachel Womble, who plays Glinda. Mm-hmm. And our Glinda is very different looking. She doesn't have the big pink poofy dress. Her dress is actually total Swarovski crystal encrusted from top to bottom. It's beautiful. And she's from Texas, and she kind of carries that Texas right. sensibility with her into Glinda. And I think she's also really funny to watch.
Does she come in on a bubble like Billy Burke?
Ooh, she doesn't come in like Billy Burke exactly, but she does come in a pretty spectacular way. I'll leave that okay. as a surprise.
Okay. What other sort of magic is there visually, like effects-wise? Because, I mean, if you think, I mean, just from the storyline in the movie, you have to have a house falling on something, yeah. you have to click your heels and return. There's a lot of magic going on. So
oh, yeah. I think
sort of, is there flying? Is there, you know, what's going
there
on?
There is flying. I think they did a really seamless way of using digital projections for, like, the tornado. I think cool. the tornado is actually pretty shocking.
You said it wrong. It's a twister.
The twister. It's a twister. Yeah, the twister is pretty shocking. And you get to feel like you're definitely heading to an otherworldly place the way that awesome. They use it. And we also have, I mean, the witch's broom spouts green fire. The Tin Man spout, like, explode. Yeah, there's a lot of special effects that are really pretty wonderful. That's and we have good. A dog, which is
And you have a dog.
Awesome.
Yes, let's talk about the dog. We actually, literally today's piece, that I just on WTOP today, we interviewed Bill Berlone, actually probably like a month ago or something. Because he was here for, he trained Sandy and Annie,
yeah.
well, the original Annie on Broadway, and also at National Theater. And now he's doing, obviously, Toto and your guys' show.
Yeah.
So talk about your relationship with Toto. There's two dogs,
There's
correct?
Two dogs, yes.
Nessa
so we have,
and...
Well, Nessa was here. Okay. Nigel and Loki are currently Nigel. Traveling with the show. So Nigel's our star. And Loki's the understudy. they're both so lovable. And I feel like people leave and they're just like, wow, the things that dog would do. But I think what's really exciting is that I don't feel like Toto's doing tricks per se. He's really playing the character. So when I'm singing Over the Rainbow, he's sitting on a hay bale with me and just, you know, kind of gazing adoringly. And it's just adorable to watch.
Bill said that was the hardest scene to get him to do was to, not you know, not all the tricks, not running from the witch or Professor Marvel or whatever, but actually getting him to sit still during the famous song.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long song. And for a dog to just kind of sit and not only, like, he's not so much looking around, he's watching me, which is, I think, pretty unique for a dog to look like he's like listening to the song.
So the dog's a method actor.
Yes, he's much like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Dog Lewis. Oh, awesome. That's cool. What else are we leaving? Oh, so there's got to be a Yellow Brick Road, right? So there's the National Theater. You know, take me into the scenery and the set.
Our Yellow Brick Road turns 360, which is pretty cool.
Whoa.
And there's a beautiful rainbow that covers the top of the set. And yeah, just I feel like once you get into Oz, you just feel like you've been led into another world. I think Emerald City is sparkly and green and incredible, and all the costumes. A horse of a different color. We don't have an actual horse.
Ah, come on.
We do have dogs, but I don't think we could travel a horse.
All right. All right, that's fine.
Emerald City is sparkly, and the costumes of the citizens are actually so detailed. There's like feathers and rhinestones. It's pretty incredible if you actually get to see their shoes and their hats up close.
How do you approach the Munchkins? Are they kids or are they actual little people? Or how do you?
So no
in
little
2016,
people, no kids.
How do you do Munchkins?
I think it's pretty cool because we have a lot of our ensemble members play Munchkins, but also our Emerald Citizens and Winkies. So you had to find a way to kind of manage that. But most of the cast is not very tall.
Okay.
I will say that. And then a lot of them are bent over, and the costumes kind of send you into the world of the Munchkins. So I feel like it's done in a way that you might think, oh, there's no little people, but at the end you're like, okay, I'll let it go.
That works. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, obviously one of the most famous parts of the movie and what we all know and love is, you know, the transition from I used to think it was black and white, but it's more of like a sepia tone in Kansas to the colorful world of Oz and when she goes to Munchkin Land. So how is that done on stage?
Do you
do it similarly with the lighting?
Yeah. So the cool thing about Kansas, and I didn't really like note this until someone came and saw it and was like, the way that it transformed. I was like, oh yeah.
You're like, I was just on stage.
Yeah, I was just there. Everything in Kansas is sepia tone, so it's all browns and creams and really just very kind of basic palette, monochromatic. And then once you get to Oz, all of a sudden it's bright colors. And I think the flowers on the bushes are even like fluorescent UV light.
Oh, cool.
Like it's pretty bright. And so I think it's a quite a massive change. And once Glinda arrives in her spectacular entrance and kind of opens Oz up and the big rainbow appears, I think that's a pretty exciting moment for the audience.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite scene?
Ooh.
To go night in, night out, it becomes, I don't want to say monotonous, but, you know, you get into the routine of it. Is there one sort of, you know, sequence that you look forward to every night?
I really like when the gates of Emerald City open and you see So there's the song Merry Land of Oz mm-hmm. is a big dance number in our production. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of jitterbugging and kind of fun Charleston style. Yeah. But the cast is kind of in a pyramid cool. in front of this beautiful set. And their choreography is just so fun and perfect. And they're just, I feel like that's one of the moments when that gate goes up, the audience gasps wow. because it's just... Emerald City is beautiful.
Did they even dye your eyes to match your gown?
Ooh, wait, they don't dye my eyes, but there's a cool moment there. Keep an eye out for that moment of the song.
All right. How about, so one of the other cool parts is how everyone in Kansas is sort of a different version, alter ego of all the people in Oz. How is that done on stage? Is it the same people?
It's the same people. Okay. Yeah, and they have special costume things that kind of let you know who's who, but I think the audience figures it out. Right. And actually, if you keep an eye out, Annie M and Uncle Henry are both in Oz as different featured characters. So see if you can spot them.
There you go. Look out for them. So does Miss Gulch get her famous bike riding music?
She does ride a bike on stage.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's creepy. It's so creepy. Take me into some of the songs. What do we have? All your old favorites. We get Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead.
We have Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. We also have Hail, Hail, the Witch is Dead that has really cool choreography at the end. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for that. Yeah, we have If I Only Had a Brain, If I Only Had a Heart.
If I Only Had the Knife.
Yeah, the Knife, yeah. And all of the We're Off to See the Wizards. And, of course, the famous Skip is in the show. So I have some fun choreography for every We're Off to See the Wizard.
How do you pull off... I'm melting. Is there a trap door? I don't want to.
It's magic.
The magician can't reveal
it's theater magic.
Tricks, right? Okay. But there is a melting.
Well, see, I pour water on her and then she melts every night.
You liquidated her. See? Seriously, so many great lines. I'm also told that there is no, so everyone knows that pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I hear in this one, Toto doesn't exactly grab it and pull the curtain. There's a big sort of mechanical.
Yeah.
He's got a trap thing that set off.
He sets off bells and whistles and machinery moving up. It's definitely a little more dramatic than the movie.
Awesome. Just as an aside, I heard a cool trivia. Did you know that how L. Frank Baum came up with Oz?
How?
So he's whatever this is. This is like late 1800s or whenever when he wrote it, early 1900s whenever he wrote the book. He was sitting at his typewriter, and he looked down at his desk. And you know how filing cabinets have A to F, you know, L, to whatever? And the bottom drawer was O to Z.
Oh.
And he said, The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, that's a cool little tidbit.
I was just by Hotel Del in San Diego, or Coronado, I guess, where he wrote The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
We went to the beach there, and they were like, look, over there, that's where your play was written.
That's so cool. I was just out at the Culver Hotel in Los Angeles. I went out to cover the Oscars, and I stayed in Culver City with some friends, but right down the street was the Culver Hotel where the Munchkins all stayed, because it was right down the street.
Oh,
And Judy Garland would apparently go chill in the lounge there. So, yeah, it's a little of an obsession. I'm also told that at it's Sony Pictures now. It used to be MGM, but I'm told there's parts around the lot. If you peel up the carpet, you can still find little yellow bricks. But our tour guide had no idea where they were, so it must be, an inside baseball kind of a thing. But that's cool. What else? What are we missing? Do you have give me the famous line. Do you have the, we're not in Kansas anymore?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Say it for our listeners.
Sure. Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Now, could you do it? WTOP, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Sure. WTOP, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
That's definitely going in the piece.
Perfect.
So with the L. Frank Baum original story, it was silver slippers. It wasn't Ruby. Ruby was for the Technicolor Hollywood, right? So is it back to silver for this?
No, it's definitely Ruby.
Oh, it's definitely Ruby.
Definitely. And they are also hand Swarovski crystalled, beautiful as sparkly from the balcony as they are in person.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
And very comfortable, surprisingly, for heels. Very comfortable.
Does it ever get old that putting on those ruby slippers? That's like the most iconic thing probably an actress could do. Put on the ruby slippers.
You know, I enjoy it every night. I like looking at them. I love looking at the sparkles. I'm a girl of simple pleasures.
Yeah, exactly. Is there sort of theater magic in how they appear on your feet and how you
You'll just have to wait and see.
Man, they don't want to reveal any of the magic. No, it's okay. But while you're in town, I'm sure you have because you grew up around here, you should go to the American History Museum.
Yeah, because the slippers are there. Yeah. I've been telling everyone in the cast, you have to go to American History. And I love D.C. I love all the museums there. And most of them are free, which is fantastic because most the rest of the country, that's not the case. And we have such great museums here. So definitely American History for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, other places come on field trips to come here and see it. And it's right in our own backyard. But ironically, they probably visit them more than we do because we sort of take it for granted that they're all here. We need to go more often. Awesome. So being that you're from MoCo, are you going to have a lot of family and friends in the audience? Is there going to be a certain night they all come or sprinkled throughout? Or?
Well, I know my grandma has like put together a group of people on a certain day.
The Oz entourage.
Yeah, I think she's like my publicist. but yeah, I have a lot of friends who have either already bought tickets and sent me a message or like, when should I come? And I'm like, any day.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to have friends and family. It's interesting because you do, you know, we've done over 100 performances now, and most of them I haven't known anyone in the audience. So there's something extra special about having friends and family there to watch.
Awesome. So on that note, could you leave us by just doing a There's No Place Like Home?
Sure.
There's no place like home.
What's next for you? Do you have anything else lined up, or are you just focused on the tour first? And
well, while I'm on the road, I still audition, but I actually, I don't know what's next. I mean, I know the tour wants to continue, and who knows if I would go with it or if I would take a different job. I don't know. You kind of have to take things day by day, and I feel like I'm pretty good at that now.
Awesome. Well, you guys come out and see this awesome show. I'm so excited because I'm just an Oz freak. I mean, I'm sure most people are. Awesome. So it's May 3rd through the 15th at National Theater, right downtown. Come see the local lady from Montgomery County as Dorothy. Thanks so much.
Thank you.